All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak on the Public Service Commission, and we're gathered here this afternoon. It is, what day is today?
January 22nd.
January 22nd at 3 o'clock, and we're gathered for a work session on the Targa Badlands 8-inch crude pipeline case number PU-14-625. We had a hearing on this. When was this hearing, guys?
December 11th.
And there was some information requested from the company, some late filed exhibits. We've gotten all that stuff. There's just a few issues, I think, remaining to talk through. And so that's the point of the work session today. We'll just go around the room and introduce ourselves. Starting to my left.
Brian Koch, Public Service Commission.
Zach Pelham, attorney for Public Service Commission.
Julie Prescott, Commission staff.
And Patrick Fawn, Commission staff.
And I do anticipate Commissioner Chrisman joining us any minute now. In fact, maybe someone should go remind him. Okay, thank you. Who knows, he might have gotten tied up in something. But we'll, oh, here he is. Good. Time flies. All right. So Randy Chrisman's now joined us. I think that we'll just turn it over to staff, unless either of you have opening comments.
Not today, ma'am.
No opening comments. Thank you.
Okay. We'll turn it over to staff, Julie and Zach, to work through the issues, please.
Thank you, Commissioner. One of the main reasons is we're here is the certification relating to order provisions. Before the hearing, the company was presented with the certification as typically is done, and they made a request that certain provisions be changed given the fact that this was a gathering line and the pipeline had already been installed. So in our standard certification that we provide, most of the wording, for example, I provided you a sheet with red line, and you know is in the future tense that company agrees to hold a pre-construction conference prior to commencement of any construction. Well, in this situation here, this doesn't necessarily logically flow because the pipeline is already in. So they had requested that we make certain changes to indicate that things had already been done. I had requested the company counsel to just simply sign and then we could address it in the order, but they didn't want to do that, so we're addressing it now. I have circulated to Julie and Pat a draft red line, which I provided you with a copy of to review. We need to go through. I know Pat just mentioned to me that we might have some concerns with the footprint law, which would require us to ensure that the certification would comply with potential for future projects within this project itself. So then I know Julie. I'm sorry.
No, just Zach. That's before we anticipate going through this. We maybe should talk about that because that was one thing I thought of. Is that it's not just this case. It's what could happen because of the footprint law. So we're caught in this tense argument that if they come back with a new pipeline 2 feet away.
Well, can't we just add another provision addressing that?
We can certainly do that. We can certainly add a provision that at the end and say, notwithstanding anything in here, in the event that an application is made under the footprint statute, we cite the statute for a future project that these conditions must be met, and we can outline it. It would obviously increase the length of this certification, but it certainly can be done.
Or could we? Would we have to restate all of them, or could we say something like the conditions outlined in this manner must be followed on any future construction, or something to that effect within the footprint?
I think we certainly could, Commissioner Fedorchak. The problem being is the company has insisted that the language be changed for this particular instance, because from their perspective, the line's already been constructed, so they don't see the need to include this. But I think what you're saying is to maybe leave the red line in to include kind of the past tense references. Is that what you're suggesting, Commissioner?
No, I think we should. I don't object to changing it so that it is accurate for today, that we change it and make it clear that this stuff was already done.
Right. It was already done.
But that we say the same provisions outlined or standards outlined in this certification document must be followed in advance of any future construction or something making it
I understand what you're saying.
And if it requires restating the whole thing, then that's, you know, what it requires. But
I think we can develop some language that would make sense and not have to add on too much.
Yeah.
I know that
seems logical to me I kinda dislike the thought of using all this language that makes it sound like we're dealing with something that doesn't exist, mm-hmm. and then putting in a provision at the end explaining that it does. So I do like the idea of making these changes, I think, mm-hmm. but it should have some kind of a provision whereby they can't use that to mean future projects.
No, absolutely. It's the company can insist all they want, but if they don't make it the way I want it, I ain't going to vote for it. It's that easy.
Right.
They're already putting a line in the ground that there's questions about other things that may come up, but just they should be the ones trying to make sure that they get all the requirements that we want out of it. And I hope they're listening, too.
Well, and two, this is my understanding, this is the first case where these changes have been requested. We hadn't had any requests along these lines in prior cases. What this will do, I know we're spending time on it now, but it will help in future
right,
cases
sure.
and current cases, actually, will hopefully help streamline this process. I know that Julie Prescott also had was looking at a late filed exhibit regarding the depths of the pipeline. And also, I guess maybe before we go to that, there is, if you turn to number 6 in the red line portion, the company agrees that if any pipeline is not buried 72 inches across undeveloped section lines, that portion there. The reason why that's been added is because we were staff was told by a company that there is one area where the pipeline buried underneath an undeveloped section line is not 72 inches. In talking with Mr. Fawn here, and Pat, feel free to jump in, there is no explicit statutory or regulatory in our administrative code requiring it to be 72 inches. It's just something that has been present. So the commission, if it feels comfortable, can allow this language. The company has offered, and the language is included, that if in the event that the section line in this particular case would be developed, that they would go back and bury it to 72 inches, and it would incur all costs involved with that. And that language is included in number 6. Pat, I don't know if you want to add anything to what I've said.
Well, my concern, you know, that would be that the company would pick up the cost, that that it wouldn't delay, like, the county, the road authorities project. That was another concern of mine, And another concern was like, what if in 10 years from now the company sells to another company? You know, making sure that the new owner has the same would follow the same obligation.
Isn't it always the cost of a company to move? It's always at their cost when they're under public easements like that to move it if there's a construction project. You know, whether it's the telephone lines or whatever it is, isn't it always their cost?
The road authority, what it turns out to be is that I know there are instances when the road authority needed to have a pipeline moved, and that the cost of moving that pipeline or telephone line was billed back to the road authority.
And that was who paid it, or they said, no, we're not paying this?
That was who paid it.
I think in this instance, Commissioner, ordinarily it would be 72 inches. You know, our procedures in place, had it been built as a transmission line in the first place, would have been followed, and if not, we would have, you know, required it to be 72 inches. Here, it's the reality of it is the line's in, this one crossing isn't to 72 inches, and they've requested that there be an exception, and that they would pay the costs. And I think that we could address some of the other concerns that Pat had mentioned about, you know, making sure that it doesn't delay the County Road Commission and that it's binding upon, you know, potential future owners of Targa Badlands.
I'm fine with it personally. I'm fine with this.
Do you have to give a reference point for the 72 inches, or is it implied that it's the same as the 42 inches at the bottom of the ditch for roadway crossings?
I'll leave that question for Julie. She's the expert when it comes to that.
I've had that question before about what, how do you measure your depth.
It's 72 inches of cover.
Yeah. From well, the top but, of the pipeline.
Right, but is that at the ditch level or at the road level?
Well, it's in the undeveloped section line, so you don't have a ditch.
Right, but if it's developed, though, it has to be 72 inches. Is that reference point the top of the highway or the section line, which would probably just a dirt road too? You say, I mean, there's probably a difference there.
Well, there is. If it's a developed section line,
yeah,
then they have to be 48 inches of cover in the ditch. And it says that in the sentence just before. 48 inches in rangeland, 48 inches in cultivated land, 48 inches at the bottom of the ditch for a road crossing.
Okay.
Does that answer the question you had?
Well, and 72 inches across undeveloped section lines.
Undeveloped, meaning there wouldn't be a ditch or anything.
Right. Company agrees that any pipeline is not buried across, as is later developed, it'll incur costs related to burying 42. But it's still, the reference point is from where it's 70, unless I'm not understanding.
I think you're, it's 72 inches under undeveloped so that if they build a road, they shouldn't have to move it.
Right.
If they build a road, I think the second 72 should be 48, Pat, but.
Sure.
That's what I was trying to. There's something that
second
just isn't
should be okay. Set 48
right.
inches.
Yeah,
now.
Right.
Because
yeah, right.
Otherwise, it doesn't make sense what they're trying to do.
Yeah, no, you're right. That should be changed.
And then that goes okay. I'm here for you.
And then we add at the bottom of the ditch for road crossings to the 48 inches to that last provision. The other concern I think that we had after the hearing was just ensuring that the depth of the pipeline, and we didn't have some of the necessary documentation. And the company provided that to us, and Julie has some comments on that, I believe.
Well, they provided some as-builts. They didn't provide. I remember. During the testimony, there was a question about, and I think Commissioner Christman asked it, they just rounded the numbers, or how the numbers were rounded in that table.
Right.
And the testimony was, that's a minimum, so everything in the table reflects 4-foot minimum. And as a late file, they provided these as-built drawings, but it would be impossible to make a judgment based on these. Actual depth of cover because the tick marks are 4 feet and the width of the line is almost at this scale. You can't make that determination. I mean, you could guess, but not accurately. So that doesn't really support that. So really what we have is the table and the testimony about the depth of cover.
The depth of cover. Do you remember which exhibit number that was? Oh, yeah, here it is. I've got it.
Exhibit 2.
But if I'm reading this table correctly, it's the elevation is referencing. Do they give the 2 reference points to make that calculation here?
They do not.
Oh.
And I believe that was the question that was brought up during the hearing.
So they just give the elevation of the ground. They don't give the elevation of the pipe when before it was buried.
I can't remember if that's the actual pipe depth or pipe elevation or the ground surface elevation from the testimony, but I think actually they did say grade. I have a note on here. They said it was grade, so that would be the ground surface.
What's 18.7? What's the local ELIP?
Those are just longitudinal latitude coordinates.
And then, but the last column, local ELIP.
I don't know what
that looks that. Like an elevation of some sort.
It sort of does, but it can't be.
Oh.
On that,
I apologize. It's been too long since remote sensing class. What that might be.
12. You're sure it's not? So you couldn't do that calculation and come up with an average of like the 5 feet, 1830 minus 1871.
Yeah, that's what you asked.
I can't possibly.
12.
Yeah, right. So.
Oh, those are feet. Oh, feet. Okay.
On number six, again, I still have one more question on that. If we're trying to, and I agree that it makes sense to put it in the right tense, but number six, company understands and agrees that the pipeline will be buried. How about something like company understands, company has verified under penalty of perjury that all pipeline is 48 inches or deeper? I mean, if we're trying to make this accurate, we need a certification that this, the way it reads, is they're telling us in the future they're going to make sure they're 48 inches. If we're going to fix it, they should be verifying under our whatever penalties we can that it is 48 inches deep. Otherwise, I don't see that anywhere in here, which is kind of the certification piece that of what we're talking in my mind about this pipeline depth.
I agree with you, Commissioner. I think,
is
I think we can.
Yeah, exactly. But they're certifying that it is that deep, and if we chose to send in our post-construction inspector out there to tap a hole in different spots, that they would be at least 48 inches deep.
I think we can add that and make it also a, well, if this will be part of the order, so I don't know that we necessarily need to address in the order, but we can do that.
But isn't that
what would we, I mean, that language, what would that be? Because isn't it already, they're certifying it, so they're,
well, I mean, number
there's
six understands and agrees that the pipeline will be buried. I think if we change the tense and say is, has been buried to a minimum depth from the ground cover to the top, 48 inches, and put it in the past tense that it has been done. And I'm not sure, you know, what language, if any, we can, you know, you mentioned penalties or perjury.
Well, no, that's, you're right. It's probably there. But the point is that, okay, if I'm not 100% confident, and I don't know, I think they would agree that their data is 100% correct.
They should agree that it's 100%. They provided it to us, and they're representing that it is.
There's always data errors.
Yeah, that's true.
But they should be able to certify that, mm-hmm. because that's what we would want, we'd expect. And so they certify it, they sign it. If it ever comes out that it's not 48 inches deep at some point in time, then they're on the hook.
Sure.
But are we saying they have to certify it again, or are we saying they're certifying it here and that's certification? I mean, to me, if they're certifying it here, that's certified.
Right now it's not certified anywhere that they've agreed it's at least 48 inches when I read this.
No, but once they sign this, it would be.
Well,
yeah.
Absolutely. If you change the language and they sign it, I agree with that.
Right.
But the way it is now, it doesn't. They're not.
But we don't need them to sign anything else certifying it. They're signing.
They sign it. They don't need to sign it again. They signed it. So
right.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And then I think it would be important to put a similar provision that we're putting in for the undeveloped section lines, that in the event that it is determined that it is not buried to 48 inches, that there be a requirement that they take measures at their cost to bury it to 48 inches. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that.
But that's
is that already?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, maybe we're creating too much, but if they're certifying that it's 48 inches and it's determined at some point, then they're technically in breach of that and
right.
would be required anyway. So
yeah.
now that I'm thinking out loud a little bit, and I apologize, but so I think if we just stick to the past tense, has been buried to a minimum depth from the ground surface to the top of the pipe of 48 inches in rangeland and go that route, I think is acceptable. Because if it's not, then the certification has been broken,
right.
Basically.
Thanks. Just to me, that's like the key issue as we go through these gathering lines transition. I'm not worried about their construction standards because I'm confident they use the right rules and the pipe and all that. It's just the depth.
Well, and this company, too, I mean, to their credit, they did go ahead in advance and do the survey, do the pedestrian surveys in advance, mm-hmm. and do all the studies in advance, which isn't always the case. So,
right.
In some respects, that is, kind of a plus in their column, I suppose. But I don't believe that they would have a problem with certifying that everything is to 48 inches. And they shouldn't. And if they do, then that raises flags, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
As far as other issues after the hearing, there was, and Commissioner Fedorchuk, you may remember, we did question the company on where the pipe was as it came into the city of Stanley, whether or not it was under the reservoir.
Yes.
There was specific testimony, I reviewed my notes, that it was not in the lake, it was not in the reservoir. They did submit a late-filed exhibit correcting. They had made a statement in their initial application stating that they had received a permit from the city of Stanley to go under that area, when in fact it turned out that they didn't. Now, I don't know the full story on that, but take them at their word, I suppose, for that, and they did correct it. And there is not a permit from the city of Stanley. At the same time, there necessarily wouldn't be a permit to do that because they didn't go under the reservoir.
Right.
And it's a dry riverbed for the little knife, I believe.
They didn't, if I'm remembering that correctly, they didn't need a permit because they didn't go under.
That's true.
But I think that when whoever wrote that was saying they had permission kind of to do it because they talked to the city about that whole issue. So
that's,
I think there was some language used maybe unintentionally, and they did correct that.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
That's
and then they
accurate.
Also corrected the... Did they also correct the, maybe it's in this December 31st filing. I bet it is. Yeah. I'm going to just read that really quick here, 17. They corrected the, it was listed as an exclusion and avoidance area.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Lawrence saying that they were going to correct that as well.
And I believe that they did.
Okay. Let's see here. Yeah. Route crosses lower into the river. Yeah, I think they've made that change.
And I concur with that. I've reviewed it, and they have.
Okay.
I had one question on 13. The company understands and agrees, goes through, and at the end, in one instance, a landowner specifically requested a pipeline not be bored. Why are we putting that in there for? What does that add to the case?
That's a good question. I think that there is a requirement that ordinarily a be bored, but this particular landowner requested it that not be.
But do we need to identify then what, I mean, it's an interesting thing. You don't know what landowner that is. And
That's true. We could be more specific about it. I think in some respects it would protect the company, so to speak, in the event that it became an issue at some point for them. I mean, what if a future landowner says, well, you didn't bore across this private section in the road and you're responsible for it? So in that respect, it may lend some support for them. Maybe that's the thinking on that. But
I agree with that. That way, if we ever asked them, why the heck did you do that? Well, the landowner wanted it.
But I think we can be more specific about which landowner, not necessarily naming any names, but the particular.
Because otherwise, you could take it the other way, that they could all of a sudden open cut 10 roads and you don't know which one it was.
Sure.
It looks they're just wanting this to be as accurate as possible to reflect what has happened.
They don't want to pull any punches. They don't want to sneak anything past you guys.
No, that's good.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And by the way, that one is still in like kind of past tense too. The graded roads must be bored. They already were bored.
That's true. That could be another one. You're right.
Yeah, you could change it up. And you wouldn't have to say to what Randy said. In all instances, they were bored except for one case, because it has already happened. That's a great point. So then you wouldn't have to identify. You just kind of change it around a little bit.
We'll take a look at that and come up with some language.
It sounds like there are several places where they missed the tense.
I think this was a joint effort between them and myself, so I would take some of the blame for that too. but yes, there may be, and we may need to give this a closer look. And this was the draft sent to staff, and we'll take a closer look at it and make sure that we have all the tenses correct. Before it is signed.
Should bring it to my 7th grade English teacher. She was great with tenses. Mrs. Quinnold.
It's always more difficult to change it once it's been done.
Yeah.
You go back and you miss one
Well, it's probably every sentence that needs to be changed.
Well, and you know, I think their initial concern was more towards the items that wouldn't actually have to redone. Like, they wouldn't have to meet again. They wouldn't have to have a pre-construction meeting with us because the construction had already been done. So I don't know to what extent we need to go. They were satisfied with kind of these. These were the ones that they pointed out as having concerns. So that's where we kind of focused on. We didn't necessarily focus on the other areas that aren't highlighted. I don't know if that makes sense. We really focus on the areas that they requested specific changes to because of the fact that this was a gathering line and had been installed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that I will trust your judgment, your staff, yours, and company's judgment to identify those and get us a kind of a cleaned up version, and we can.
Yep. If we're going to be consistent, though, we may as well make sure it's all past tense. So, I mean, and then we can potentially use this as a template in the future for similar circumstances.
Well, and some of them might not be past, though, if it's stuff that still is happening.
That's true.
Report promptly to the commission the presence in the permit area of any critical habitat threatened species. You know, that's
right.
Sort of an ongoing thing.
Right.
Some of the reclamation stuff might be ongoing. So you'll have to use some judgment there.
Okay. As far as anything else, Julie or Pat, do we have anything else that we had potential concerns that we wanted to bring to the commission's attention?
How are we going to wrap up the future footprint, though? That's still out there talking.
Well, I think we're going to develop some language that includes specific reference to that.
What are you thinking? Tell me what you're thinking here.
What I'm thinking is a specifically reference to footprint law.
Okay.
And indicate that specific requirements within this certification be followed. Alternatively, I'm thinking off the top of my head. Alternatively, we could include a exhibit to this certification and then simply include that and reference that exhibit and say that it must comply with this certification.
Any future construction takes place, you must comply with this exhibit.
This certification, and it would be basically the certification that would be used for prospective.
Okay.
Prospective construction.
How narrow is this corridor again? Do you remember?
Is it 1 mile?
That's the
Okay, 100 feet, yeah.
Because it is pretty narrow corridor to start with.
I don't even know if they would put anything else in there.
Well, and that's the other side is that you could ask them if they're willing to narrow the corridor a little bit or I don't know. I'm just thinking because Pat brought up a good point about this and him and I had talked about it before in this case. Nobody's ever really tested the footprint law, but we want to make sure that, well, that we're aware of.
There have been several companies that have used it.
Yeah.
The footprint law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the idea of just adding the provision that any future construction will be completed to these provisions and whatever you either you reference the additional exhibit or figure out how to say it.
Right.
That would be part of the order, though, or are you thinking that that fits into?
It would be
the
part of the certification, I think, Commissioner.
Right.
Which would then be part of the order through its reference.
Be like number
43
like
or something.
Like 39, and then all those other route adjustment things would kick down maybe.
So when they see it, when they see it to sign it, they would know that that's attached and that they would apply in the, in the future
We would provide a copy, and we may be, we may have to be, there may be some give and take from them on that specific wording, and if we do develop any problems, we can certainly bring that to attention if we can't resolve it with them.
Sounds good. Anything else?
I do have two other things that I don't know if they belong in this or in the actual orders themselves, but because in the original application there were so many waivers missing from residences and businesses, I hope at some point we will emphasize in here the fact, I mean, they testified to this, but emphasize that all residences and businesses within 500 feet have executed waivers. And then I don't know if I missed something of making a note of it and then just don't remember, or if in hindsight they didn't answer my question as well as I hoped. Regarding the facility at Newtown, I wondered why that was there and not hooked up. And in my notes, as well as I took them, or as not well, I wrote down that the tank was built to be used for another project, and that project went away. Now it sets there, and it could be used to make this project a safer pipeline. Somewhere it seems to me it ought to be addressed what the other project was that went away, or some kind of a acknowledgement or evidence of that. Because it seems like a weak explanation if there's nothing further than that. That, well, that was for something else, but then that went away.
We can certainly talk to them about that, Commissioner Crispin.
If it could just be acknowledged what the original plan was that didn't materialize.
And we can include that in the findings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have a draft order from them?
I think that they provided, did they provide one?
I'm looking, while you're doing that, I'm looking at the waivers. And Randy, you had mentioned that a bunch of them were outstanding. But I'm seeing that there aren't any outstanding ones.
Correct. That was the testimony at the hearing. But in the original application, there were a bunch of outstanding ones.
Well, they've listed them all and that they have the, you know, that they're all executed.
Yeah. I just thought it was a good thing to mention in our findings that all waivers have been secured.
To reinforce
that. There is a proposed order in place, or proposed findings.
Okay.
Of course, we wanted to address these issues first. Doing the certification usually is not an issue. As you know, And this is the first time this has occurred, so I think that's probably a lot of the delay in this one, quite frankly.
Right. Well, like you said, this is something that it's kind of probably surprising that it hasn't come up before, and it's worth getting this fixed for future conversions like this so that it's accurate.
Commissioner Crisman, I'm looking at my notes here, and you asked why they overbuilt. So they're serving two different markets, one Enbridge and one other customer. Is that kind of what you were getting at with that questioning, or am I missing that?
Probably, because I don't recall the answer, but made in my notes that it was built for a different project that didn't materialize.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think it would just be nice to acknowledge that so this doesn't appear to someone who's looking into this at some point in the future and didn't sit in on the hearings as a questionable thing. Why was that built and then just hooked in later?
Right. I understand what you're saying. We'll talk to them and see what we can get with that language, too.
This is the case where the company had indicated there was some incident they were going to bring to our attention, right? And that they were looking for, quick consideration of the application of the order. And so I think we promised that we would ask the commission if they wanted to have a special meeting to address a decision.
What are you saying?
Can you be more clear? Did they say what?
But then when we asked, Julie asked if they would provide something describing the incident or the situation, they said they probably wouldn't be providing anything that would describe the situation. But without getting into the details that we don't know about, they made it sound like an emergency situation. Our impression was that it was a leaking valve that they needed to repair, and if they did repair it, they could repair it without taking their line out of service if they had this authority from the commission.
Why would this permit change how they repaired a leak?
I think it had to do with using the tank, utilizing a tank as a reserve, as a place to, like a surge tank. Place to put the oil while they were doing a repair.
I see. Oh, okay.
But those are a bunch of details
that
we really
right
now? Don't have.
Wow. Okay. So. Well, I'm assuming they've shut it down for the time being, so that it's not leaking.
We received no
further. We have.
Okay.
There was no description filed.
And they did. They said they weren't going to actually file a description after all.
Well, Danny said to me yesterday.
You better speak into the mic, Julie.
Sorry. I asked Danny Krause yesterday at the meeting before we went to scheduling about this, and she said they probably would not be filing any further information. So that's all. And I haven't heard anything since. So,
Zach, do you have any recommendations?
Well, I mean, the communication, I haven't, I'm aware of the communication. I've been copied in emails. I haven't any direct conversations. To me, I know that they want this done quickly, and I would never suggest that this is being brought up to do that. But if we can get it, get something together quickly, then there apparently is a more urgent than another situation, I suppose, in other cases to perhaps, maybe move this up, to the top of the pile if we at all can do that, and a special meeting would apparently be the means to do that.
What I see as left to do is cleaning up the tents throughout and adding the language requiring future requiring the, you know, the conditions for future construction in within the corridor, and then number six, cleaning up number six. Is there anything else that we're waiting on? We feel like we're dealing with the depth of cover around the 48 inches in the certification.
Mm-hmm. No.
There's small things, but the little things I mentioned.
Right.
We're going to put an acknowledgement that all the waivers have been secured.
Yep, specifically in the order.
Just right. Address what that other tank was going to be used for one time, what sort of a project.
Right, and Julie mentioned to me that just now the number 13, the landowner requested to be bored across a private section line. Section of road. But essentially, yes, the issues we've been talking about today are the only issues that, in my opinion, remain. And I can work on the certification and get that done. I will be leaving on vacation next week, but I will certainly get that done before then and get it to the company and find out answers to Commissioner Christmas' questions and some of the other questions that we had. And get that in, and staff can work on the findings, the fact, and conclusions in order.
As for me, I'm willing to do it as soon as you guys are able to get the documents prepared. But I don't, you know, again, without shortchanging anything or rushing or, you know, doing anything but the most careful work. But, yeah, I think I have no – I'm not going to dig my heels in and say, no, absolutely not. You have to wait till the next commission meeting.
Yeah. Well,
especially in light of the fact that we just had one yesterday.
And today.
I mean, it's too bad because we did just have a special meeting this morning. But.
Well, speaking for me, coming into this, my only concern was that 48-inch. If they take care of that, I'm available. I'll be at a transmission meeting all next week, early part, but I can always call in for a special meeting, and there's – as long as those changes are there, I have no problem with the vote on this anytime.
Okay. Well, we'll get working on that and pronto, and get something worked out. And then I think once we do that, we'll have a better idea on when we can perhaps set a special meeting.
Okay. If we want to look at your kind of the, do you have your stuff with?
No.
Okay.
I can always step out of my transmission meetings for a special meeting. That's
not
a problem.
Yeah, so that's not a big deal. I'm just looking next week.
I don't think I have really anything big scheduled that wouldn't also be on your calendar, though.
Okay. Yeah, we have, there's no hearing scheduled, so we aren't out of town at any point next week for commission work. And, I mean, there's just, yeah, bills here and there. Actually, it looks pretty. There's quite a bit of time next week, Monday, Tuesday.
You usually don't like to come in until at least 7, though.
You know, Tuesday morning, I have an 8 to 9, but I'm available otherwise, and then I'm tied up at noon. But Wednesday, we have a periodic exchange meeting with Otter Tail from 10 to noon. That would be another block off, but all afternoon Wednesday we've got some free time, and Thursday, so we should be able to find time to schedule a special meeting next week.
Sounds to me like if they're agreeable to all things we've discussed, and they don't sound like very complex things, almost as soon as the paperwork is done,
right?
Yeah,
we'd be ready to go.
I would
here
agree with that.
Yeah,
within
hours almost, it sounds like we can find a meeting time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we should be able to, even on Monday, if the paperwork's all done, and it sounds like you'll have to get it done here in short order, Zach, because you're
I'll
leaving.
Be working tonight, so.
No, Monday.
And sure, this is your only case to get done before.
Well, no,
yeah,
but that's okay.
Well, the work has to get done at some point, whether it's now or later, right?
It shouldn't take too long, and I can, I'll work on it tonight and have something to them and get some questions to company's counsel and, you know, perhaps even as early we can have some as early as tomorrow. I do have a bar committee meeting part of tomorrow, but not all day. So, you know, should be able to get it done soon.
I would expect they're probably listening and are typing as we speak.
Yes, probably.
Trying to help.
Yeah. So I am available tomorrow afternoon as well. So if something were to come up that
And Julie will be gone on Monday.
Oh, okay. So.
That might
all right. Well, maybe we should shoot for tomorrow afternoon, if that's feasible. You guys see how it goes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think that concludes our work session. Any closing comments, Randy or Brian?
I do not, but thanks for that, Zach, for digging in and trying to move things along, too, before you leave.
Yeah, appreciate that, Zach. So where are you going?